On November 5th of 2017, a killer shot 46 people who had gathered to worship at a Baptist church in Sutherland Springs, Texas, just southeast of San Antonio. The pastor, Frank Pomeroy, and his wife were out of town that Sunday, but their daughter, Annabelle, was in the service and was killed by the shooter. At a news conference the next day, Pastor Pomeroy said, quote, "Christ is the one who's going to be lifted up. That's why I'm telling everybody, you lean into what you don't understand. You lean into the Lord, whatever life brings you. Lean on the Lord rather than your own understanding. I don't understand, but I know my God does." And that's where I'll leave it then. That's kind of the trust today we shall see in Habakkuk's life. He would have got the worst news you could get about his future and about the future of his nation. And yet, he didn't turn his gaze from God. He shows us that he was committed to trust and worship God no matter what happens. Today is the last day in our message series on the book of Habakkuk. We have called the series The Journey from Doubt to Faith. And today's message marks the end of the journey of Habakkuk. As we look at the closing passage from the book that bears his name. Throughout the series, we have been tracing Habakkuk's own personal journey from a place of questioning, doubt, and confusion at the beginning of the book to a place of faith, hope, and confidence by the end of the book. First of all, Habakkuk recognized that there is an unavoidable calamity that's coming. And we have learned in the past 2 weeks that we see that God said he was going to judge the nation of Judah through the hand of the Babylonians. And verse 16 says, "When I heard the news, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops." Habakkuk was certainly very, very upset about what is going to happen to the nation of Judah. And he used many parts of his body, such as belly, lips, and bones, to describe his uneasiness. He knew what was going to happen to his country because God has revealed to him through a vision. Habakkuk lived about 700 years before the time of Christ, and it was one of the most difficult times in Bible history. The chosen people of God, Israel and Judah, had turned away from God's word and had been practicing idolatry. They worshiped idols and all kinds of other things and sins for generations. And despite God's warning through his prophets and many chastisements for their sins, they continue in them and have not turned back from their wicked and evil ways. God is very, very patient God. As Psalm 103 verse 9 says, it says, "He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever." But God is also a holy God who will not condone sin. So after 700 years, after several hundred years, God decided to tell his people through several of his prophets, people include Habakkuk and other prophets, that judgment was coming on their land. And that their cities, that is Judah's cities, would be destroyed. Many of them killed, and others carried away into captivity into Babylon, the nation God was going to use to punish Judah. And this is exactly what happened in 586 BC. And the temple was destroyed roughly 21 years before Habakkuk's prophetic ministry. And again, Habakkuk knew what was coming. He knew that Babylon was going to invade Judah. He knew that many of his people were going to perish in the judgment that was come, that was to come. That his country was going to be devastated, and thousands, perhaps himself included, were going to be carried off as slaves into a foreign land. He knew that an unavoidable calamity was coming upon him and upon the nation of Judah. And that made him literally sick to the stomach. His stomach was upset, lips, his bones. Like our English word says, I'm sick to the stomach. I think that's a similar expression. As for us today, there are other calamities that will come upon us, maybe as a nation or as individuals as well. If we could see into the future, like Habakkuk could, lost jobs, bankruptcies, car accidents, broken homes, lost children, dashed hopes and lost health. And yes, some of those things will happen even if we are Christians. Dearly beloved of God, just because you are a believer in God, not everything is going to be well. Habakkuk was a man of God and a prophet of God. There is no doubt that he loved the Lord. And yet he said, I just have to sit here and wait quietly for the people to come who are going to invade my country and kill many of them and ravage them. There are unavoidable calamities which will come upon us in this world. Jesus himself said, in the world ye shall have tribulations, bad times, difficult times, trying times. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:16, though our outward man perish, that is our body, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Paul is saying that our body perish slowly and being consumed by continual trials and affliction of this world. And for the case of Paul, he suffered a martyrdom. And the inward man, or our soul, is renewed so that we may grow to be more and more holy and more like Jesus Christ. More for glory every day. And that can only happen if you are a believer in Christ. And Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:12 that we are going to experience persecution. And it says that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It is
I promise that you will suffer persecution. He doesn't say you may. He said you will or shall suffer persecution. If you decide to live a godly life. So the Bible never says Christians are never going to have any problems in this world. In fact, it pretty much promises that we will. Some difficulties come upon us because of our own direct sin. Like King David, who brought great tragedy into his life for sinning against God. He lost all of his children. And it was a direct consequence of his disobedience to God. But then there are other calamities that happen to us that are not a direct result of our sin. It is just a consequence of the general effect of sin in our world. That is why Paul in Romans 8:22 says that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth like a woman is in labor, in pain, together until now. It was because of the fall that the creation experienced suffering in this world. Fall of man, and the creation suffers along with us. This is why people do get hurt, people do get sick, people suffer, and people die, and there is an unavoidable calamity in this world because of the fall of man. Yes, even for Christian people, no matter how holy we are, no matter how faithful we are to the Lord in our service, bad things, so-called, do happen to us. So the first thing we must realize is that there is unavoidable calamity that comes. Even as God's people, we need to recognize that. But in the midst of impending calamity, whether personal or national level, Habakkuk had an unwavering commitment in God. He said, through all this was going to happen, though all this was going to happen, though his people will rise and invade them, the people of Babylonian would invade them. He knew, as described in verse 18, the nation is going to lose all and their belongings, the material blessings and food and flocks and cattle and herd be cut off and no more. And they're going to lose everything. But despite of that, despite of all, he said in verse 18, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. In other words, he is saying, despite of what would happen to his nation and to me and all the unfortunate events in his life, he was to trust God and worship God anyway. Habakkuk certainly had tremendous faith. Put it in today's language, though the stock market may crash, though I may lose my job, though I may lose all my savings and all my investment, though I may lose my house, my cars, and all my possession, even my family, I'm going to trust and worship God anyway. Do you have such kind of faith? And dearly beloved, this is what God wants to see from his people. Psalmist said in Psalm 147:11 says, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. That means God is delighted when he sees us, and most people would give up, would still wait upon him and look to him and trust him and worship him no matter what. That's what he loves to see from his people, us. It helps explain why in Job 1, God told Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" "Consider what?" you may ask. He asked Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Well, in the opening chapter, God allows Satan to take almost everything away from Job except his wife, his children, his possessions, his cattle, his health. As I said, except for exception, to the exception of his wife, who asked him to curse God and die. But Job refused. Instead, Job arose. Chapter 1, verse 12, verse 20. Job arose, and it said he fell down upon the ground and worshipped. Worship who? Worship God. God wants to see this kind of faith and trust in his people. And God was sort of like proving this to Satan, that his servant Job, even in his darkest times of his life, would still wait on him and to look to him and to trust him and worship him. "Have you considered my servant Job?" His faith is a real deal. And that brings God's delight, and that glorifies God. This is what God is looking for in mankind. God delights to see this kind of commitment that Job had, and that even when he was smitten from his head to the toe, he said, "Though he slay me, yet I will trust in him." Job 13, verse 15. "I will trust him and worship him anyway." God loves to see this kind of response that David had in Psalm 22 when he was suffering so much that he would call out in verse 1. Of course, this is a messianic psalm which Jesus called out when he was on the cross. But he applies to him too. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He was finding no deliverance from God. But at the end, verse 3, he was still said, "But thou art holy." And would still call upon his readers to trust and worship the Lord, no matter what. No matter what I'm going through, I'm going to call upon my readers to worship God. And God loves to see his children like Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah in Daniel chapter 3. That is very interesting. You know, they'd refuse to worship the idols, then get, you know, thrown into a fiery furnace. And this is very interesting. Verse 17 of chapter 3, it says, "If it be so, our God whom serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace." And then he said, "But if not," okay, "even if we die, even if we are going to die, we will not serve thy gods. We will still serve him. We will still worship him, even if we are going to die. But we believe that he will deliver us. But even if he don't, if he doesn't, we'll still worship him." God loves it when his people like Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16 get thrown into the prison on a mission in a foreign land, and yet in the midnight in the prison they sang praises unto God, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord," and worship God anyway, even in their midst of their trials and imprisonment. And dearly beloved, this is what gives God most pleasure, and that is what gives God most glory. Even in our worst situation, when we choose to trust and worship him, no matter what happens. illustration, a famous German pastor by the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was thrown into prison for his belief. Thank God, that's not yet happened in our land. But it happens in many parts of the world. He was eventually murdered by the Nazis in World War II. Why? He was accused of being associated with the July 20th plot to assassinate Adolf Hitler and quickly tried and hanged. Okay, while he was in prison there in Germany, he wrote to his fiancée, Maria von Wedemeyer, and spoke of an Austrian poet, Stifler, who once said he will quote this part and he will comment his poem, what he said. So this part is what the poet said, but he will comment that later. He said, "Pain is an holy angel who shows treasures to men, which otherwise remain forever hidden." He wrote that through pain, men have become greater than through all joys of the world. So pain is an angel who shows us treasure which otherwise will remain forever hidden from us. And then he said, he added in his letter to his fiancée, "It must be so that I tell this to myself in my present positions over and over again, but it needs to be overcome every time. And thus there is an even holier angel than the one of pain. That is the joy of God." In other words, Bonhoeffer wanted his beloved Maria to know, and want us to know, that there was something greater than his pain. And that was his joy in God. Dietrich Bonhoeffer's circumstances were about as bad as you can get in this world. Well, he eventually died of martyrdom. What can be worse than that? But he was committed to trust and worship God anyway, no matter what the circumstances was. The application to us for us today is, whenever you and I have sickness and pain or great trials, and some of you may be going through one right now, we should decide that we are going to trust and worship God anyway, no matter what. I know it is difficult. I know it is always easier said than done. But we are called to show the world that our God is greater than our pain, and God receives the glory in that. How? We need to show the world that God is greater than our trials. This is He, that is He, is greater than the loss of things that most of the world think that you have to have in order to be happy. You show to the world that that is not true. The Bible says God gets greater joy out of seeing us respond like that than us offering money in our service to Him. Don't get me wrong, it is part of our service. But God wants us to respond like that of Bonhoeffer and Job, more than anything else that we offer to Him, our money and our service. Even in the midst of trials, we can still rejoice in God and trust Him and worship Him. So when like Habakkuk, we face unavoidable calamity, we can all say like him, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." Can he look down from heaven and say to these angels, "Have you seen my servant blank? Have you considered him? Who is this servant blank? Could God put your name there in the blank? Because he sees that you are committed to worship him, even if the worst things happen in your life, can God
put your name there? Do you have that kind of unwavering commitment like Habakkuk had, or like Job had, to worship God anyway, despite of unavoidable calamities? We saw that there's an unavoidable calamity that comes even on God's people, and Habakkuk had an unwavering commitment in God no matter what. But God does not just sit up in heaven as a spectator and leave us to do our best and does not care for us. He gives us strength to overcome them. The story of the gospel is that God came down from heaven to die for our sins on the cross and bring us to himself one day, so that even though we are sinners and we'll have a lot of troubles in this world, that we can know that one day we will escape this world and we'll be with him in glory forever. We read in Romans 8:18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Paul tells us that we have unimaginable eternal glory to look forward to in heaven. But not only does God give us a great hope to look forward to, he also gives us strength and grace to help us get through whatever we face in life while we are here on earth. We mentioned now Habakkuk would rejoice in the Lord even in his trials in verse 18. But now he also said in verse 19 that the Lord is my strength. I hope the Lord is your strength. He's saying, not only I'm committed to worship the Lord and praise God no matter what by rejoicing him, but he will be my strength as well when I need him. And when you read the second half of verse 19, God has said, God will make his feet, our feet, like hinds' feet. And he will make him to walk upon his high places. Now, what is all this imagery? A hind is a female deer. A deer is known for its nimbleness and grace or swiftness and its ability to keep its footing even in a high, precarious, or dangerous place, which is a picture of dangerous difficulty and trying times in our lives. And God will make us like a deer, planted our feet firmly on difficult situations and trying times. When he says, God, you have made my feet like hinds' feet, he's saying that you have given me the ability to somehow keep my balance in the dangerous and difficult and trying times, like a deer. In other words, Habakkuk is saying, God is with me, and has given me the ability, like a deer, to plant my feet firmly in difficult situations so that I may rejoice in him. And at the same time, God is also strengthening me, stabilizing me in dangerous, difficult, and trying times in my life. Dearly beloved, I assure you that God will do the same for those who will commit their lives to him and truly make him the center of their lives. God will be with us and strengthen us and help us. We don't have to go through things, difficult things, on our own. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, "Fear not, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." The right hand is the image of strength and power. God is powerful. He is saying that I will be with you in your trials, I will be with you in the fiery furnace,
I'll be with you in your lion's dens. I will be with you in your storms of life. And God does not promise you, by the way, that you will not have troubles in this life. I will emphasize it again. In fact, He pretty much promises that you will. You will have trials. But He says, if you will commit your life to me, I will be with you. And I will strengthen you and help you through those times. And when they are finished, I will bring you to my glory. But until then, He will strengthen us and be with us until that day. Now, despite of what some TV evangelists will say to you, some of you might have gone to some churches, and those preachers may have said some weird things to you. Christianity is not about getting healed from every sickness and illness. And it's certainly not about endless prosperity and being trouble-free. Habakkuk shows us what gospel is all about. It is a committed belief in God through Jesus Christ that says, yet, no matter what happens, I will rejoice in the Lord. Even when the fig tree doesn't blossom and there is not a fruit on the vines, I will still trust and worship you, O God. It is about knowing that He will be with you and He will be the strength that you need to carry you through the toughest times you can until He brings you into His glory. So I pray that God will also lead you to the place where you will learn to trust Him no matter what. Where you may run along the heights in God's presence with the feet of a deer and plant your feet firmly on those difficult situations and trying times. And believe that one day that He will come for you and receive you into His glory. May God help us to learn the beautiful lessons that He has recorded for us in the book of Habakkuk. Let us pray.